All right. I want to greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Pray for those that are sick, not able to be here with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for your watch and care over us. Lord, you would bring us out, Father, to be what you want us to be, Father. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us wisdom and understanding, help us be faithful to you. Open your word to us this morning. Give us words to speak, Father. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I greet you all again in Jesus' name. Want to open the Bible first off this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 23 and verse 24. It says, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24 says, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." That's what I wanted to... I read that this week and it said, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." You know, there's sometimes we have questions of people who've been among us and for a while seem to appear to be something, to be loyal, faithful, but then soon something happens and you see their real character. You see what they really are made of. And you think, we wonder, you know, well, what happened? You know, here, sometimes it's confusing because we see people who live their lives seemingly just really all above board and everything looks just wonderful. But when trouble comes or some problem comes, real character is manifest and they'll have nothing to do with you anymore. Just drop you. Just cut you off completely. And we're just puzzled. We wonder, what is this? What happens? How can this be? But then reading this verse, it says, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." The heart of all of this is when someone loves the Lord with an uncorruptible heart or an incorruptible, they love the Lord. They're not up and down and up and down riding on a wave of emotion or a mob of whatever's the common spirit that's going on in the world today. They're not just all over the place. Their love for the Lord keeps them steady right through a storm. Keeps them, even though we may not understand everything, it keeps them focused because they love the Lord. Their love is incorruptible. Grace be with all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. You know, things may happen. You may get confused for a while. They may fail for a while. They may turn aside. They may be just get completely beat up for a while. But this incorruptible love guides them through eventually, or brings them back to the place where they know they need to be, that they're going to follow Jesus. And though the world turns against them, they're driven by something greater. They may, like I said, they may fall away for a while. They may get discouraged for a while. They may get weak for a while. But that incorruptible love of the Lord always brings them back, just like a needle on a compass. You can turn it around and shake it all around, and it may bounce back and forth, but when it points, it winds up pointing back north, because that's the direction. It's incorruptible love. And that's what I want to talk about, this incorruptible love. We're not going to be judged on the judgment day. I mean, we're on our performance. We're going to be judged by what we love. Let's turn in the Bible to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 3. The heading here, it says, the hope of the righteous. Verse 1, it says, but the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torture will ever touch them. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torture will ever touch them. Okay, we would think, well, we know of people who've been tortured. So what? You know, how can that be true? What he's saying is, the souls of the righteous are in the hands of God, and no torture will ever change their mind. No torture will ever affect their uncorruptible heart. They're not just going to love God with an uncorruptible heart up to one point, and then, okay, it's no more. An incorruptible, you can torture them. You can do whatever you want to. And they still keep their heart focused. The world does not understand that. People don't understand why someone sees and wants to please the Lord, and everybody all around them is telling them, no, 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 it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And you might get clouded by that for a while and confused. You might not know which directions to go. The compass is shaking all over. But in your heart, there's one way. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord. And even though you're tortured, you might even, while you're tortured, just say, I can't take it anymore. But I'm going to still love the Lord. I'm going to still follow the Lord. This story that one of the boys gave about the man in the catacombs, he was a great leader, a great man, the story goes, and he went down into the catacombs and he got himself lost and found the little boy, and the little boy led him into the group of Christians worshiping in this hole, this hiding from all the world going on outside. And here's this group of believers, this group of Christians down there, and they had something. The world had everything they thought they needed and everything they thought was important. But this group of Christians in this dark place had something. And he saw that. And he found a little glimpse of what they had. They loved the Lord. All of the things on the outside meant nothing to them. They found something much, much greater. He got caught. And they said, we'll restore everything that you had before if you'll just renounce what you had. But his love was incorruptible. His love said, those things don't matter at all. I want the love of Christ. I want to pursue that. And he forsook the world and chose, like one place it's in Moses, had everything, raised up the son of a Pharaoh, could have been in line to be a prince and a king in the whole world, but he chose to forsake the world. He chose to join and be a part and to bear the reproach of the people of Christ, says, just to be a part of that. That's incorruptible. Nothing on earth can corrupt that. Just choosing to be a part of the Spirit of Christ and to be a part of the body of Christ, nothing corrupts that. There's nothing of any more value than that. And when people see its true value, that's what they want. They don't care about anything else. You can't tempt them with the world anymore. It just doesn't have any glitter anymore. It just doesn't have any pleasure anymore. Because they've seen something that's incorruptible. And it can't be bought. Can't be persuaded. Our hearts may be ripped in two because people don't understand it. But we still see this incorruptible, this Christ. That's what this man, this is just a blessing he found something. The pearl of great price. They sell all that they have to get a hold of it. And it's so clear to me. It's so sometimes that the differences between the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the world, and how that just divides. There's not a middle ground. You can either have one or the other. And they can't dwell together. But if you have the one, that incorruptible, and your love is wanting and seeking that, you won't go wrong. Talks about in 1 Peter about the woman trusting her husband. That if she has an uncorruptible heart, there's nothing he can command her to do that will sway her from following the Lord. The only thing that would change that is when she gives up, when she gives in and chooses to forsake the Lord. Okay. In the eyes of the understanding, they seem to have died, and their departure was considered to be misfortune. Someone following the Lord, in the eyes of all the world, oh, he's lost. We've lost him. Their departure was considered to be a misfortune, and their passage from us to their destruction. But they are at peace. For though in a man's view they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Though chastened in a few things, great kindness will be shown them. Then this is where I wanted to get. For God tested them and found them worthy of himself. He tested them like gold in a furnace and accepted them as a whole burnt offering. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth. You know, we wonder why sometimes we go through things. Some things are so hard and so painful sometimes. And most of the people think that, oh, God's punishing them. God's really, he's punishing them. They must really be bad. But in reality, is God is testing them to see whether they'll be worthy of Himself. The world sees nothing but misfortune, hard times, trouble, suffering, sadness. They just think we're miserable because we don't have all of what the junk that they've got. But yet, what we're going through is because of something incorruptible. We're trying to let God tear away all of the nonsense, all of the stuff that isn't worthy of Him. Let that all be gotten out of the way so that what's left of us, of who I am, of who you are, what's left of after a trial is all we were in the very first. I mean, if you have a whole big, huge rock and there's just one little piece of gold in the middle and that rock weighs 1 ton and there's 1 ounce of gold in it and you have 1 ounce of gold over here, which one's worth more? The one that weighs a ton? Or the little 1 ounce of gold? When you take all of the rock away and you get nothing left but the little piece of gold, that's all the value it had anyway. It may have appeared like a great thing, but whenever it's all broken down and it's all goes through the fire, the only valuable thing is what's left. And that's the way we are. When we stand before the Lord, there's going to be people stand before the Lord and tell of all their great things. Tell of how they were loved by everyone and how big a church they built, whatever they think that they've done. And then the Lord's going to say, okay. And they'll take us and He'll take us and He'll set us on the fire. Everything that we've done, everything that we are, who we are, put us on the fire. And everything begins to melt away. Everything will be melted away except for what is good. This testing that the Lord is putting us through, that He tries us and tests us, is so that can be taken care of now. So that we can see what's bad. So that we can, all the wrong and all of those things can be taken away now. So that we can have something that will survive that fire on the judgment day. For God tested them and found them worthy of Himself. This incorruptible love. You know, sometimes He tests our love with our friendships, with our loyalty, with our dependability. I mean, if we think of a friend, what kind of a friend do you want? Do you want a friend? The Bible talks a lot about friends that have a lot of money and have a lot of good times and all their friends are around, but then when they go broke, their friends are gone. In other words, when everything's going great, I'll be your friend. I'll be your buddy as long as we can have a good time and everything's going great. But is that a friend? That's not a friend. That's just a good time buddy that's gone with the wind. A friend is dependable. A friend is going to be there whenever you need them, whether things are going well whether things are going bad, they're going to stand by you. Because their friendship is, just like what we were talking about, is incorruptible. It's not going to be swayed. In fact, your friend can actually turn against you and become your enemy. And your only desire is that he would just quit doing that. And just your only desire is that you would just hope that one day he will see what he's doing and just return and be your friend again. Your hope is that, I mean, we've seen people that have left us, and we're not just saying, oh, we're waiting. We would take anybody back that's done us wrong. We would take them back and just forgive and let all things just be gone. Because our hearts have a desire just for what's good and what's right. You know, people that can just wash their hands of somebody and be done with them and not forgive them and not take them back and not have anything to do with that person that once was their friend is not a friend at all. A friend is ready to forgive. A friend is ready to receive, because that's the way the Lord is. The Lord is trying to show us who we really are. That's what being tested and being tried in the fire is all about. That's why Job was tested. That's why Abraham was tested. That's why the men in the Bible were tested. Satan saying, well, do you see them? They've got it made. And God says, here, you can have them. I mean, we see Job, and he had everything. He had it all around him. And the devil asked God to let me have him for a while. And he destroyed everything he had. His wife turned against him and told him to kill himself. His children were killed. Everything was taken away from him. What'd he do? I'm through with God. No, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because his hope was incorruptible. If we're going to serve the Lord, he's not called us to a picnic. He's not called us to just a wonderful time in this world. He's calling us to take up a cross and follow him. Bear the same reproach. Bear the rejection. Bear the people not listening to you that he bore. I mean, he was the Word of God. And he tried to talk to people, and they rejected him. They would not hear him. They wouldn't listen to him. How different is that today to religious people? Why there's so many denominations? Because somebody gets an idea in their head, and then someone doesn't listen to them, and they get all mad and go start their own little religion. Just because somebody didn't listen to me. That's exactly opposite of what Jesus did. Jesus was despised and rejected. Nobody listened to him. In fact, if you really look at in the Bible, it talks about, if you love me, you'll hear my words. You'll hear me. If you love me, you'll hear me. We've got a voice turned to hear the Lord. Love is directly related to hearing. And if you hate me, it's not, you know, we think of the idea of just wanting to kill somebody as being hate. But hating is just not listening to God. Just not hearing Him. That's hating Him. Many times, people love the commandments instead of loving Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, because what we're doing is hearing Him. But oftentimes, we get the commandments and say, I'm going to love His commandments. That's what the Pharisees did. They loved His commandments, but they didn't hear Him. We get them in the place of Him. That's why we need tested. That's why we need tested. To see if our following Jesus is real. To see if, to prove our loyalty, to prove our heart, to prove our love, to show us what we're really made of. It's pretty easy to say, that we can keep His commandments. You know, there's all kinds of people. And I'm talking people in plain churches that have correct doctrine, that have real right teachings of Jesus that they learn from their youth up, that they know, and that they would never do a lot of the things that would go against. They would never go to war. They would never divorce and remarry. And they grow up, they spend their whole lives growing up in this sheltered little environment, never doubting that they don't have the truth, because it's right here in the Bible. These are the teachings of the Bible. They would never be, women would be caught in pants in public or without a covering, because it's the truth and it's in the Bible. And yet, never really being tested on whether they believe it or not. Thinking that because they've believed correctly all their lives, they go through life, and all they have is religion. They've never learned what a cross is. They've never learned that there's going to be times in your life, if you're going to carry a cross, it's going to test you to your very core. It's going to test you to everything. Just like that man in the catacombs. You're going to have to lose everything you've ever known. But I found something, and he was willing to lose it. So many people. I mean, you know, I've said it before, and I think it offended quite a few people. Our young people are set up. They've got the right doctrine. They've got an opportunity to probably marry the best girl in the world compared to what the world offers. Someone that'll be dependable and faithful and listen to them, won't fight with them. Have an opportunity to own their own business. Have an opportunity to have their own home, their own place. Have the opportunity that 90% of the world will never know, of having the American dream. That's all the American dream is for a man just to be free enough to have his own place, have his family, protect them, take care of everything, have a nice business to be able to support himself. Have the perfect little American dream. That's what the real people who have the true doctrines, they think that's what Christianity is. That you just live this spotless little life off in the middle of nowhere all by yourself, nobody ever bothering you. Oh yeah, we can talk about non-resistance. Having no problems in the world. I won't go to war. And look down their nose. And look down their nose at people who have to actually make a decision to follow Jesus. Look down their nose at 90%. Oh, look how the world's living. Look at them. Oh, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. Just coldly predict and pass that judgment on them while they're living their moral little holy lives. Never been tested at all. Never been tested at all. Despise the idea that they would ever fail. That's not an incorruptible love. An incorruptible love is going to be put through the test. Am I going to be loyal? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to be a friend? And we can see it. We can see it. What about your friend? What if your friend? Are you going to stand by him no matter what? Or are you going to throw him under the bus the first chance you get? We need to get a hold of this incorruptible love of Christ. Whenever we love Christ, we can't just throw our friends under the bus. We can't just throw our brothers under the bus. We just can't do it. We want to love them. We want to be there. We want to, if they fail, we want to be the first to be their side to offer their help. They turn against us. They go against us. They fight us. They become our enemies. We just look for an opportunity to help them however we can. God tested them and found them worthy of Himself. He's not going to test us to make sure we meet all the biblical requirements of a church. And so many people get so caught up in every little detail, and they miss the incorruptible love. Like I said, I don't know how many times there's just so much, you just suggest disagreeing with someone and they can't have nothing to do with you. That era, that's widespread. We can still love people. We can still be there for people no matter what they believe. For God tested them and found them worthy of Himself. You know, just a scoundrel has to tear someone down to make themselves feel valuable. But they're still nothing. A righteous man can be torn down by a scoundrel and not lose one bit of his value. He's not going to hurt him. We are what we are. No one can take that away from us. No one can tear that down. No one can take it from us. We are what we are. I just want to encourage you to let the Lord test us. And sometimes learning, someone just has to get right under our skin. We can run away from that or we can learn. Sometimes we might not see eye to eye on everything. Well, we can run away, shelter ourselves, or we can step back and learn something. I mean, sharpening a knife, you take the knife and you grind it right face in to a rock. I mean, whenever you look at our lives, it's, the Bible says, friend sharpeneth friend. Friend's not just a good time buddy. A friend is someone that you might not even like that well. You might not even like him that well. But he's making you a better man or a better woman. He's grinding away all that stuff that won't last, trying to bring you to something that will last. That's what the whole purpose of this life is for us to spend their life getting rid of all the stuff that won't last, trying to produce the things that will survive eternity. The good things. Only the good things will live in eternity. The rest will be thrown in God's trash can hell. Because it won't belong there. It won't belong there, those bad things. It won't belong there. So, the only way we can better ourselves, I mean, get to climb uphill is a job. Anybody can roll downhill or slide downhill. Anybody can do that. But to climb uphill takes effort and strength, and you get tired and you get wore out and you got opposition, you got gravity pulling down, you got things coming at you. You got, if you're on snow, it might be a mountain slide coming at you. It's hard going uphill. That's just the way it is in life. We see the example of that all around us. It's hard to build things up. It's easy to tear them down. It's hard to rise. It's easy just to lay. And that's the same way it is. That's just, God's just given us a picture of the good things. It takes effort to get the good things. And it's the same way with spirituality. He's given us the examples all around us of what it takes to get the good things. To get the good things in our spiritual life is not one bit different. You got to rise above, you got to climb, you got to work, and you got all kinds of opposition all around you. Everybody around you is trying to tear you down and pull you off of that. Everybody. Except for a few friends that are saying, come on, come on, come on, keep climbing. And they don't turn their back on you. And say, you're not climbing fast enough. And then start throwing rocks at you. That's not a friend. That's not incorruptible love. That's the same old cowardly stuff that the devil does. There's only two spirits. There's one that's saying, rise up. And there's another one saying, go down. Go down. You're not good enough for us. Just stay down there. Well, he's just blessed by that in Ephesians. Again this morning. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Real blessing. So, see that our love, if you see love that's not incorruptible, get rid of that. Get a hold of this kind. Comes from loving the Lord. That's who He is. That's Him. That's who He is. We can only find that in Him. And He's calling, guiding, trying to bring us to that. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Thank you for sharing more secrets of the kingdom of heaven with us. Reminds me of in 1 Chronicles, just reading the men that just appeared out of nowhere to join themselves to David the king. They came from here and from there, children of Manasseh, and some of them were really talented, and some of them weren't so much. But they joined up with King David. You think of all the, think of how his kingdom lasted so long, and was able to conquer all the enemies, it seemed. But one of the secrets there that says about them is, might have been a certain group that came, joined him so they could keep ranks with a piece of their spirit.
Right.
I've been blessed just to see Brother David and Kevin relate together. They've known each other for a long time and have worked together. And brothers, just depending on each other or talking to each other. And it's not something that's always probably been. Just the other day, Kevin had an idea about the sign, and David said, I'd rather not even have a sign if you put that on the sign. I hope I'm okay to share that. But I just thought, Kevin kind of thought, okay, I've known David for 25 years and been trying to learn that. I think I have some ideas here about the sign, too. You know, that might be more something like Kevin was like, okay, well, I'll have to think about that. This kind of changes the way I'm looking at it. And he wasn't very sure about that. But that speaks to me more than somebody that might just come in here for 1 or 2 years and be all fired up or have all these ideas about what's right or just get upset.